Sam, my little faithful digital recorder here.
Good evening, Rita.
Good evening. My computer is slower than heck today. It might get the minutes up within the next half hour.
Does anybody worry that as things get bad, generally, that our electronic communications might really fail us along the way?
Oh, just because they're privatized?
Oh, so it was a silly question, huh? Well, I mean, maybe we should be careful not to depend on them as much as we do.
I've been thinking about that lately.
I don't know. My Google Docs are fighting back today.
Who's fighting back, Rita?
My Google Docs. They won't let me into the 2020 meeting minutes.
Why?
I don't know. My computer is slow and it's clunky and this happens every now and then.
Oh, well, you know what? I can copy and
I'll get in this. Sooner or later, it'll let me in. So.
Oh, okay. Otherwise, if anybody needs it, I can download it and.
Do they want to record the meeting?
Yes, Sue is going to record.
I'm recording on my digital. And then I can put it up on the on my website and send you the link.
Who asked about, whose voice was that? Asking about recording.
Oh, this is Kathy.
Kathy in my room here.
Wait.
Oh, hello, Kathy.
Turn off that for a second. I'm just trying to help with a little bit of tech stuff here. And are you guys, I see there's a record button. You're not hitting record right there just for the record.
Well, none of us is the host. Howard can't come tonight, but he opened the meeting.
I got
it. And left us to our devices.
And then the other thing I heard was Sue. Hi, Sue. You were saying you have a Google Doc item, but if you share the link on chat, people can't see that Google Doc?
Oh, just sharing the link, not the whole doc. Uh-huh.
Oh, okay, let me do that.
Okay, cool.
Kathy, I don't see your picture, and I see Steve's picture, but
that's because I
muted.
Have the, I'm not dressed. Hi, all.
Is it hot there in Florida?
Steve.
Oh, it's so hot.
What's the temperature?
A thousand. I don't know. It's not really temperature-wise that hot. It's just that it's so humid. It's probably like 85 in the house or something. But it's just humid.
Oh boy.
Oh boy.
The link in the deck.
It's actually not been a really terrible summer, and we've had the fans on all along, and it's been pretty doable, but.
Well, wait a minute now. So you're saying you live there in Florida and you don't use air conditioning?
Well, most of the time we don't. And then this summer, our air conditioner is not working and we haven't fixed it. So
on the fritz.
So we've been doing actually okay. I went and got a couple of fans and I just, you know, when I'm standing at my computer, I have a fan facing me. Wherever I go, I've got a fan facing me.
Okay, I get it. Well, that's remarkable.
Yeah, it works okay. You know, the summer's not been too bad.
Uh-huh.
Today's a little humid.
Okay, I clicked on your link, Sue.
Okay. Does it come up?
Let's see. 8th of August. August 13th.
You want the 20th?
August 20th. Yes, ma'am. Got it.
Okay.
Does everybody else have the agenda, or are we going to be just reading through it for those people who don't get it up? It won't matter. If you want us to read it, we can, but it's kind of long.
Well, there's a lot of old business that I'm keeping because we haven't finished it.
Right.
But we don't, unless someone looking over old business wants to talk about any of that. But the new business, I don't know. Mary, you want to take the new business and prioritize it as the co-chair?
We can do that, yeah. We really miss Howard. I'm seeing in the old business this part about updating our our committee screen, and I've kind of got it ready to go, and Howard was going to talk to David Duna, and I hope he can get his computer this week.
Oh yeah, that's tough.
Let's see what else we've got here. Sue, to speak to Alan, is on old business. Will you have any little report on that?
Yes, I spoke to Alan. He's working on subscribing on Greens for Monetary Reform newsletter link. Subscribe, you know, if someone wants to come in and subscribe to the newsletter. And he showed me, like, over a month ago, he showed me his first draft, but he said it's a little tricky, you know, so he's concentrating on it. And I didn't approach him about the other stuff. I want him to finish that first.
Uh-huh. So you mean to make the subscribe button work just real slick?
Well, whatever he has to do. He's a very good designer, you know.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right.
And I just want to...
Does it have questions about that or not?
I just want to repeat one thing. He's in the middle... You know, he teaches at the Henry George School.
Mm-hmm.
So, and he does our work because he's generous. So, you know, I don't want to push him too much.
I'm not asking you to push him.
No.
Does anyone else have a question about that, or shall we move on? See what else we got going here. Okay, the outreach program to mayors is also on the old business list. New business. How many people are reading this for yourselves, and how many people need me to read it to you? Good evening, Joel.
I think you should read it, Mary.
All right. There's quite a bit here on new business. So, we're going to have to prioritize and decide what we have to talk about tonight for sure. New business, it says here. BMRC spoke about parity economics and its part in the monetary system to regulate the value of money. Uh-huh. Joe would like to have this added to our GPUS platform. Well, that's work for through the winter, right? That's maybe not for tonight.
I don't know. I don't know what Joe's thoughts are.
And then it also says here under new business, local currencies. Joe would like to have a game plan to move towards local currencies. I think that means to help people through the terrible crisis that's coming. Oh, and we were going to ask Paul Crum to come and talk to us, and there may be an update about that. Here it says, Howard would like to participate in preparing local currency presentation, like Giselle. Giselle, is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Anybody who wants to look at this agenda with me, Sue just put the link in the chat. You can click on it, and it will come up for you as slick as it did for me. All right, so Rita has committed to putting the materials about local currencies in one folder on the Google Drive. Has that happened already?
No.
Okay, but it will happen, I think.
Yes.
And Joe, I'm looking at the things that Sue highlights in yellow, which is the names of people who promised to do this or that. Says Joe is going to invite Paul Crum. Have you had any luck communicating with Paul Crum, Joe?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, it's a little, sounds like you're in a wave, but we can hear you.
Okay, but I'm having an echo.
Oh, you're all echoey? I'm sorry.
That's okay, terrible. So.
You might have to go out and come back in. All right, officer elections we did.
Oh, what was the result? Because it says members who have not been active within the 90 days preceding a vote shall not be included in the count for a voting quorum.
Right.
So our election can be certified. We don't have to worry about those shadow members. Contact them though as promised. So what's the update on this?
Okay, the update is our election can be certified, whatever that means. Because those people who never attend, we don't have to count them for the quorum. Everyone who does attend did vote. There were like 9 votes or 10.
There were 9 votes, and that's quorum.
That's over quorum.
Quorum is 9.
Quorum goes back to how many people really attend our meetings. Let's see, how many do we have tonight? Tonight we have 10, and we're missing Howard. And Will doesn't count, so 10.
And Kathy also is not an official member of our...
So 9 is who are mostly 10. Let's say 10 or 11 because we don't want to exclude someone like Paul Crum who does communicate with us sometimes. But the quorum is, now I forgot the number again, 2/3 more or less, 2/3 of the people who always attend. Is that good enough for you, Sue?
No. No, that's very... hold on.
Okay. Well, then we got to let it go. But, you know, we shouldn't take up more committee time on this. This is a little clerical deal that I can do with you.
Okay, so you will
send me... This is not a real issue.
Send me your calculations according to our bylaws.
Okay.
Okay.
The vote counters, Matt and Joe, should please tell us how many votes there were exactly.
Is Matt on?
I don't see Matt. I do not see Matt.
So we had 9 votes.
9 votes, okay, good. So with that number, I can work with Sue and get our elections certified. We'll probably have to ask Rita to figure out what does that mean, certified, but our election is okay. That's no longer an issue for us.
I'm gonna sign off and try to sign back in.
Okay. That seems like a good idea. I'm gonna make my to-do list. All right. Now, what the other update here on this business about the quorum and people who really attend or not, I did send a message to each of them, and that was at least 2 weeks ago now, maybe 3. And the bylaws tell me how long I have to wait for them to say, oh no, count me in, keep me in. And it says so in that message. And after a certain date, we can just take them off our list. Oh, we have to know, we have to tell the state parties to take them off our list.
Eugene Stack.
Oh, Rita's shaking her head. Sorry. Rita, go ahead, correct.
We can't take them off. You have to contact the state party.
Right, we would contact the state parties and tell them these people are not attending, please. And it's up to them to take them off, is that right?
That's correct, yes.
Okay, so we are very close to the time frame because it was like 3 weeks and I think it's been almost 3 weeks. So it's just about time to proceed with getting rid of the people who don't participate.
I don't know if I use that term, getting rid of.
Eugene Stack.
Go ahead, Eugene.
Did any of the people contact you, say they were reading the material that was sent to them and they wanted to be kept in the loop?
Of the people I contacted, I got no response from any so far.
Thank you.
Yep.
Well, excuse me. You
Go ahead.
Can but you said that they don't want to be removed.
Who said that? No, I didn't say that.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Then I misheard you.
Okay. What I tried to say was I did the communication as the bylaws state, warning them that if they're not participating, we will tell their state party that they should be removed. And after a certain number of days, I think it's 20 days. And I have heard no response from any.
Thank you.
Does that take care of it?
Yes.
All right, so now we're on page 4 of this agenda. There's another item about newsletter and Alan Smith, but that's what he's working on. Sue already told us.
Yeah.
Rita, is there any update about Holly Hart, or did you say last week that media committee is just not going to be helpful and we should resign ourselves?
No, I didn't say that.
Uh-huh.
I haven't yet talked to her about sending her our newsletter.
Uh-huh, okay. So, but there is hope then that they might help us in some way.
She can at least distribute it to people on the media committee.
Uh-huh, okay.
But, you know, I think that we ought to send it to all the committees anyway.
Right, and were we trying to get the committee addresses to send it to all the committees?
The committees are all on the website, or the committee addresses are all on the website.
Okay, so it's
like
a matter
of our committee address is gpacs@gp.org. Or excuse me, it's bmrc@gp.org.
So it's a matter of checking the MailChimp and putting those committee addresses in if they are not already.
Yeah, right. You know, and that way it would go to all of the committee officers. And,
okay.
You know, they can certainly distribute to their committee or to their committee members if they choose to do that.
Right, okay, I get that. I'll put that on my list to check with Howard and see if there, or maybe I can do it myself within the MailChimp list.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, so Mary, are you volunteering to do that?
I am volunteering to take 2 steps forward regarding getting committee chairs to receive our newsletter.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Why, certainly. Then, let's see, talking about this recent newsletter, did everybody get the copy for the review copy of the newsletter for us to look at and comment back to Howard on?
Yes.
No. When did he send it?
Well, let's see, I got it, I want to say 2 or 3 days ago.
Really?
I think it was Saturday.
Oh, that's more days than 2 or 3, isn't it? So Eugene, you got it.
Yes.
Very good.
I don't think I did, but I'll check again.
Now, he's got so many addresses, I'm not sure what to search under here.
I got it at the BMRC listserv.
Kevin Stack.
Kevin.
I received a copy, and I told Howard, he still doesn't like the title of my article. I told him that he could change it to Chronic Global Insolvency.
Ah! Good.
But I didn't hear anything back. Apparently, something happened to his computer. I don't know what.
Yeah, he is in terrible computer mess.
Well, that's too bad.
It is. He's expecting a new one any day here.
Well, I have got old computer stuff lying around. I didn't realize. I didn't think about it, but. But I don't think I could send him a computer that would have 6 programs and 28 tabs in the browser open at the same time. I don't think any of my computer hardware could handle that.
Your name was sufficient.
Are you hinting that he abuses his computer?
No, I don't think he does, but he just, you know, has a lot of stuff going on in there. A lot of people do that. I mean.
Right. Okay, so
I had a guest one time who had, I think it was 32 tabs open in the web browser.
Yeah.
You know, they just don't know about closing them.
What?
They don't know about closing them.
Well, the thing is, when you think you want to come back to it and you're not sure you can find it, well, then you leave it open.
Right, right.
I fall into that trap for sure.
Sue Stack.
Go ahead, Sue.
I just want to point something out to that the question you asked earlier, Mary, about communications. What happens if they go down? Because here's Howard and his computer goes down, right? Yeah. So we don't have him, right? We don't have his expertise and whatever. And I recently, this past week, read that the private companies, this is the last year they're allowing copper wire to support copper wire, to have it. And I know I had DSL for 11 years that was copper wire right into my bedroom here. And they took that away. I think it was Verizon. But the article said that legally, that's what we're supposed to have, you know, public copper wire, which means if you have copper wire, you can have a telephone line. So if the internet goes down, everybody can still talk to each other. So they're illegally removing these private communications telecom companies, removing our control over our public control over our communication. So here's an example of it, right?
Steve Stack,
go ahead.
I'm just wondering if y'all can hear me, because I asked for Stack before. I'm not sure.
Oh, I heard you this time, but I did not hear you before.
So I would like to ask Sue, what instead of copper are they doing? And I would like to respectfully ask Kevin if he could get his mic something closer to him. It's always hard to hear him.
Okay, am I better now?
Well, somewhat, yeah.
All right, I guess that's closer.
Thank you. So, if they're not using copper, what do they do? What is it? What's going on? Is it Wi-Fi or what?
Well, what the telecoms have been and was requested for them to do, of course, it's privatized, right? And supposedly our public control is through the FCC, which is totally owned by the telecoms. I mean, there's a long history of that. So the telecoms, they were supposed to put down cable, fiber optic cable, to the house, to everybody's house. Well, what they've done, and there's a whole lot of history behind this too, is they stopped running the fiber optic to the house, and they're putting in microwave antennas. They're putting them in on public lampposts. Now, if you're in a city, they're putting them in every one lamppost on each corner. And the wattage of power that's coming off of those antennas with their microwave radiation is thousands of times what they're supposed to do. And we're fighting this. I'm part of two, three different groups that are fighting this. And if anyone's interested, there's an engineer who has a website who's very aware of this whole thing. And he has been helping local groups around the country stop the implementation of this microwave radiation that has dire health effects on millions of people. And he's brilliant. He's actually brilliant. I mean, it was very hopeful hearing him. He's going to come to one of my grassroots groups in New York City. We're trying to stop the implementation of these microwave towers on every corner. And he's going to talk to us next week. And he sent us homework because, you know, he's a busy man. He wants us to educate ourselves before we meet with him, you know.
Steve, then Joel.
What? I think Joe was first, but Sue, you must be talking about G5, the G5 network.
5G, but it's true for 2, 3, 4G in terms of health effects.
Yeah.
And in terms of the level of power that is really legally, they're only supposed to legally be able to emanate from those antennas on the corners, I think something like 0.1 watts, and they're doing thousands of watts. I mean, you know, and the FCC, they're bought out, and the people in the, at least in New York City, I only know New York City, the public officials don't know anything about this.
That sounds familiar.
You know, so, you know, I call my community board chairman, and I was talking to him, and he said, oh, yeah, those are the ones on top of the buildings. I said, no. I said, don't you know they're putting them up on every corner? He said, oh, really? He had no idea. And this is a community board. You know?
Well, it's a good thing you told him.
Yes, yes. I have to put a fire under him. I don't know. Anyway.
Eugene. Joel, what's the stack? And then Eugene? I think Joel was on the stack.
Okay. Thanks. And this is working better for me if you can hear me.
Yes.
Okay, great. Yeah, so I looked up... I was looking back for the newsletter because I had remembered seeing the note from Howard about he was getting it together. And I think that note did come on Saturday, but there was no newsletter with it. A couple of days later on Monday, the newsletter is there. So I just wanted to let everybody know that. Let's see. Came in at 2:12 p.m. Monday, August 17th. And then earlier, Mary asked me in terms of some of the old business, I think, about Paul Crum. And I did write to Paul. I didn't call him, but I did write to him, and I explained to him, you know, about what we were doing and what we were thinking. And I asked him if he wanted to join us in terms of, you know, trying to figure out how to set something up of substance for the mayors that would constitute the municipal script, you know, angle. Because that's really kind of how it was played, you know, was the municipal script angle. But he wrote back to me, but he didn't even acknowledge what I wrote, and he just mentioned a couple of other things that were sort of peripherally related. I don't want to minimize it too much, but it was related, but not answering the question of whether he wanted to work on a project with us of something that would be where local script was part of what we wanted to recommend to the mayors. So I didn't really hear back from him in terms of what it was that I asked him, and I just kind of let it slip after that. So my answer is I did contact him, but he didn't indicate anything about wanting to work on a project with us with the mayors on community currency.
Okay, over. Well that's what we wanted to know.
Yeah,
Does that give you what you need for the notes then, Sue?
Yeah, the poll is non-committal.
Yeah, shows no interest.
Yeah, and you know, maybe if he reads that, minutes or something, it'll remind him to maybe do something. I was kind of surprised, to be honest. I thought Paul was going to go for that, but he seems to be involved in kind of other peripheral activities with a couple of other groups. I'm going to put it that way, with a couple of other groups that he's working with. And
money related, or not?
Yeah. I mean, in some ways, community currency related. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I see. All right. Eugene was on staff.
Sue, could you tell me the name of the scientist that will be speaking before your group?
Hold on. I had his name here somewhere. Hold on.
Can we move on the agenda, please, and she will supply it to us?
Yeah, I'll put it in the chat.
Very good. There's an item here about membership on the BMRC from Florida, but I can't tell if it's something pending. Let's see, Steve Newman wrote to Steve Schoen, confirming something. Stephen says, it's about Gail at the bottom. Even though Gail is listed as an observer, her local is not currently active, nor is she. So does that mean we should take Gail off the list or not?
Steve Stack.
Go ahead.
Well, yes. As Steve Newman's last sentence in the previous paragraph, he says, currently, you, Steve, should be the only GAPFL voting member of that committee.
All right. So then, Rita, when I go to the list, do I just leave all her information and write retired in the column for active or not? Or do I take her off altogether?
I'm sorry. I was looking for the newsletter, and I didn't hear what the...
Okay. If there's a person who is no longer active on our committee...
Yeah.
Am I supposed to delete that line from our member list, or am I supposed to leave their information and just note that it's she's retired rather than active in that one column? Which is the better way to go?
I don't know. Whichever way you want.
Is there any value to keeping a record of people who once nominally were?
I don't know.
Okay, Sue, were you going to say something?
I was going to say, if Rita doesn't know, I don't know what's going on.
You don't have to keep a list of who was,
history,
a current list of who's on the committee. You don't have to keep a list of people who are on the committee and no longer are. It's up to the co-chairs to decide what they want to do.
All right. Okay. Is anyone on the stack right now, or are we just moving forward?
Sue Stack.
Okay, Sue.
There's a question to Steve. Steve, what's Gail's last name?
Gorlewski.
Can you spell it?
I'll take a guess. I think it's G-U-R, I don't know, L-E-W-S-K-I, something like that.
Okay. I'm going to say, Mary, you'll retire Gail Lewski from our member list.
Okay.
Not just her. There's also LeBeau Cabada now. He was on last year, but he's not active now.
I'll retire the Florida people, all but you, Steve.
Yeah, thank you.
And what, Steve, what's LeBeau's last name?
Well, it's hard to pronounce. It's K-P-A-D-E-N-O-U.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Sure.
All right, very good. Sue, it says here that you will contact Sarah about joining.
Yes, I have to. She is I talked to her. She is a registered Green Party member, but She lives in Astoria, Queens, in New York City, and there is no active county there that she can be a member of. So I'm talking to the secretary of my New York State Green Party to find out what is the rules, because she's not part of a county, you know, like
she can't just join the state party as an isolated person in Astoria.
I don't know, because the party's built from the counties to the state. The counties send delegates to the state, you know. So I have to find out. And he knows the bylaws. He's very good.
All right, so that's on your to-do list.
Yes.
Okie dokie. Now, Rita, go ahead.
If somebody got the newsletter on the 17th, could they forward it to me, please? It is not on the listserv.
I will.
And I didn't get it, so.
I will. I'll forward my email.
Me too.
Thank you.
Steve. So Steve, maybe also, will you forward it to the whole list, please, Joe?
Okay.
All right, then. Now, when we came to the mayor's campaign in old business, we skipped over it to get rid of little things, details that we thought we might just take care of. But now here we are again at mayor's campaign on the new business. And I don't know if we should read all this and try to pick up our conversation from where we left off, or if people want to just dig in from where they're at right now.
Eugene Stack.
Go ahead, Eugene.
Based on the request of Sue and Mary to postpone any activity on this matter until our Thursday meeting, I did so. And I understand there are three versions submitted by Rita, two of which are based on my document, one with the photographs of a greenback on the page, and one without, and I have not yet seen Rita's. I would like to propose the following resolution. Since there seems to be a great, it will be difficult for us to come to an agreement here, and particularly from what Kevin and Joe said over the weekend, that is on Saturday and Sunday, I respectfully request that this be initiated by me as a side project, and I will come back to the group describing what I am doing and if there is any contact from the mayors. Even if there isn't contact from the mayors, I feel much more confident that there will be contact from social groups whose names I am accumulating, starting with the Poor People's Campaign, but many others that I have the email addresses for. And and as part of my proposal, I am creating a listserv name, which is, I haven't yet created it, but I hope to do so, and it's called Greenbacks Can Pay for Guaranteed Incomes. And it's a way to communicate with the mayors and with these social groups to begin a conversation to test the waters and then to see where we can go with it. But it would be a project under me with my name, because in the discussion, partially which was on the listserv and partially I think between Howard and I, when I was just asking him questions and so forth, there was a feeling that there might be trouble from the National Party about our undertaking this project without higher approval. And I think we ought to take it out of that realm where we have to be gun shy that the National Green Party would not like it. So that is my proposal. Over.
Steve Stack.
Sorry, go ahead.
So, Eugene, in that case, how would you be representing yourself? Or who would you be representing would be my first question. And secondly, I take it you wouldn't be talking about the NEED Act. Thank you.
Can I answer?
Please do.
Number one, I would be acting as an individual. And secondly, the NEED Act is in the answer that Rita added three sentences to my document, and it would stand on that basis. Obviously, elaboration could follow, but it is in a paragraph near the end, I think the next to the last paragraph, and it's in there. Over.
Thank you.
Sue Stack.
Go ahead.
So, Eugene, my question is, I'm not clear. When you're doing this offline under your own name, are you you're sending the last version of the letter under your own name? Is that it?
Well, it went through three drafts, and the last draft, including the photograph of the greenbacks and then also a photograph of the dollar with appropriate captions. The caption of the greenback one was taken directly out of Zerlinga's book, quote, you know, and we have a link to his book. And the second one is comparing, based on what Sue raised at a previous discussion, comparing coins to currency, and that we handle coins in a certain way. It comes out of the treasury. Why do we have to borrow money if we can create greenbacks similar to coins? Over.
Kevin Stack.
Kevin.
And Eugene, are you thinking the mayors don't know the answer to that question?
I would hope that they would see it as logical, and therefore it should be done. Greenbacks should be functioning in the way of coins almost.
Right. Okay.
Or it could be, you know, that could be modified to a statement. I have no objection, you know, changing a question to a statement.
Sue Stack.
Kevin, did you want to reply to that at all, or should I go, Sue?
No, go ahead. I have not read the very latest on this letter.
Yeah.
And what I did read, I thought was pretty good.
Okay.
So I'm not, you know, it's not like I'm all that worried about it. And I also think that, you know, the first step here is to get some attention. And, you know, I don't know.
We can hardly hear you, Kevin.
Well, that's probably just as well. I say the first step is to get some attention. And I guess, you know, I honestly don't know how to do that. I mean, the only kind of commentary I would want to offer would be something that was, you know, helpful in terms of getting attention. And I just don't have anything that I think is a brilliant insight on that. Over.
Okay, thanks. Sue?
Yes. You know, I spent a fair amount of time this week researching about United States currency direct from the Treasury and the current status in law. And I have a lot of books here and a lot of notes I've taken over the years. And I couldn't find exactly what I wanted, but I just wanted to say the latest United States code that I could find was U.S. code.
Because the roaches
were. Yes, Title
31. Title 31 is money and finance. And if you go to section 5115, that is United States currency notes. And this is what it says. And this is as of September 13th, 1982. Okay? But I think there's something that came later, but you know, they don't want you to know, so I have to keep searching for it. But anyway, this is as of 1982. This is what it says. The Secretary of the Treasury may issue United States currency notes. The notes are payable to bearer and shall be in a form and in denominations of at least $1 that the Secretary prescribes. The amount of United States currency notes outstanding and in circulation may not be more than 300 million and may not be held or used for a reserve. And then there's two statutes that are, they're basically the same statute, which is where this was added to the U.S. Code, and that comes from the 1982 Public Law 97-258. So, as of it stands now, the 300 million of U.S. notes, they can't issue anymore.
There are 300 million out there? I've never seen one that, well, I never looked. All the notes I've ever seen, pretty sure say Federal Reserve notes. But you think that they're out there? Maybe Joe knows if they're out there.
I don't know the answer to this because I get confused between greenbacks and United States notes when they talk about these quantities.
We just
Rita?
Did you say that they have something on them that says payable on demand?
No, it just says...
I mean, something in the law there that says they're payable on demand?
No, it says the Secretary of the Treasury may issue United States currency notes. The notes are payable to bearer.
Payable? What does that mean?
Whoever has the note... That's what it means. Whoever has the note.
Right, okay.
They're not redeeming them for gold or silver or anything like that.
Able to bearer. That doesn't even make sense.
No, payable to bearer is what you put on if you're trying to use a paper security as money or something like that. Payable to bearer means that you don't have to present any proof of ownership or anything. The fact that you have it in your possession and that you can physically turn it in is all they need in terms of who should they pay. They don't.
Well, I know about bearer bonds, but I've never heard of bearer money.
That's the whole idea of money. It's payable to whoever has it. That's why people try to steal it and stuff, because you can steal money, you can spend it very nicely. Nobody's going to ask you where you got it.
Wow, well, I'm going to have to pay attention to every bill that crosses my...
Well, they're all the same. I mean, a Federal Reserve note is also payable to the bearer.
Well, right, but I'd like to see one that doesn't say Federal Reserve note on it.
Oh, yeah. Wouldn't we all?
All right, so where are we at with Eugene's proposal?
Can I just say one last thing?
Yes, please.
The United States notes... Series it says here, 1966 consisted only of $100 notes. And I've read that in different sources. They basically made them into $100 notes. And I'm going to research further because I don't think they're circulating particularly well.
Kevin Stack.
Kevin.
Yeah, that's what they do. They make large denomination and stuff like that so that it's hard to spend, difficult to use, and then the banks get them and they just change them out right away for their own notes.
Yep.
Oh.
If you took a United States note to the bank and wanted, you know, and wanted to put it in the bank, you would never get it back. They would never give you that note back. You'd have to put it in a safe deposit box, and it probably would get stolen from there too. So. But I mean, the banks, you know, the banks, that's their job to kind of keep cash around and stuff like that for people. And so they use their own notes. They're not going to use somebody else's note if they don't have to. And that's just what they do.
Right.
And that's what they did since the beginning of the Federal Reserve Law in 1913. They issued the Federal Reserve bills to their member banks, the commercial banks, and they started putting them into, you know, someone came in and wanted some cash, they give them Federal Reserve notes. Now, people might say the beginning of that, you know, the first couple of years, no, I don't want that, because they knew back then. I want the silver certificates, or I want gold certificates, or give me the gold coins, or whatever. But over the years, you know, people started accepting the Federal Reserve notes, and all of that government treasury issued debt-free money ended up in the reserves of the Federal Reserve Bank. And then
yep.
1933, that was done away with, and the Federal Reserve notes became the reserves, and everything else was, you know, gone. Pretty much it's got silver certificates they were left. That's how they do it. Kevin, you know, Kevin's right.
Okay, so where are we at with Eugene's proposal?
Based on what I understood that what Eugene said, there's gonna be an effort made by Eugene as a member of the Green Party perhaps, but just as an individual, having nothing to do with our committee. And what Eugene is asking for is for the committee to sanction his independent effort. Is that correct?
I'm not sure the word sanction is what I'm requesting, but I'm describing what I would like to do.
Okay, well, I'm only asking for the clarification, Eugene, because I'm on the throes of making a second to your motion, and I want to make sure that I understand what it is that I'm seconding.
Can someone second the exact motion so I can put in the minutes?
Eugene will make outreach on the question of greenbacks can pay for guaranteed incomes to the mayors and to social movements that might be receptive. He will report back to the committee on what he learns. He will sign the material at this point by his own signature, not mentioning the Green Party. I guess that's my motion. Over.
Thank you.
Okay, well, I have to say I'm a little curious. Maybe Eugene can clarify for me why it is that you feel it's preferable at this time to promote the greenbacks not as part of our need ACT Mission, but more independently. Why is it better to do that?
I'd like to pass right now. I will answer the question. Go to someone else, and I will come back to it in just 30 seconds or a minute.
Oh, okay. I might have had another question for you, but you take your time.
Kevin Stack, Kevin. While we're waiting.
Yeah.
Can you guys hear me?
Just barely.
Sort of.
Just barely.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, better.
All right, I guess I did have the microphone too far away. All right, well, I actually put my email on the newsletter list for the mayor's group. I haven't received anything to my knowledge. So I just wanted to say that they might send out a newsletter. And, you know, it would be kind of strange because I'd like to hear, I mean, you know, I just wonder how well are they going to develop the case for the universal basic income? And what kind of a stand are they going to take, or what kind of a point are they going to make? So I'd be curious. And if I get a newsletter from them, I will try to remember to include, you know, the information, or maybe forward it to the list or something.
Oh, that you signed up to receive their information.
Right, right.
Uh-huh, okay, I'm with you.
I mean, to me, it was a website that's one of these kind of websites where you hire somebody to create a website, and they make a nice-looking website pretty much free of content. So, yeah, I mean, you know, it had, like, who we are and stuff like that and pictures and things, but there really wasn't any kind of, you know, developed argument or kind of economic fact and figures or something, you know. So that's why I wonder, you know, what are we really going to see from them? But, I mean, we'll just have to wait and see. It's one can hope.
Right.
Eugene Stack.
Go ahead, Eugene.
I interpret the group as dead in the water. They haven't done anything probably in 2 months. And, you know, they may carry on with their request to charities and rich gentlemen like the Twitter guy Dorsey, but they're looking for dribs and drabs. They don't have a plan, and maybe someone on that group, maybe Jackson, Mississippi, and maybe the founder from Stockton would see and then want to run with it. I'm not overly optimistic that's going to occur, but I feel we have an obligation when we have something that's real historical record, and they have not considered it. It has to be laid in their lap, and then it's their responsibility either pick it up or, number one, if they have a fire in their gut and really want to help people in their town, or secondly, whether they have maybe an aspiration for higher office and might run for a little while and then pull back after they are, you know, people begin to pay attention to them, whatever. Sue asked the question before, and in her reply to one of the things I wrote, she said, no greenback legislation is getting through without the same change in Congress required to pass the NEED Act. Now, that statement requires an ability to predict history. I am not confident which history will result in. You know, I have a feeling that we're going to get to real poverty and real hunger and real anguish in the next 6 months. But I don't know if that's absolutely true. And so therefore, I can't say that there couldn't be an end run of greenbacks if somebody starts it up and begins to for instance, the Poor People's Campaign, their thing on the Postal Service last Monday was terrific. That is a nationwide thing in which they had people testifying. I don't know what the absolute number that attended, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was 1,000 or 2,000 or more. And they had people from Kentucky talking about organizing against McConnell. And, you know, people in various things of no health care and, you know, dying, literally dying. And if somebody picks that up and runs with it, I don't know what the outcome would be. And it wouldn't necessarily be the full NEED Act. And we have to, you know, we have to, in my estimation, give greenbacks a shot without a lot of things hanging onto it that they can dismiss immediately. And that's the origin of my proposal. Over.
Suskak.
Sue, go ahead.
I heard one of the mayors on a YouTube, and he sounded very human, you know, like he was really concerned. So, and I'm just one, you know, my thought is to try to reach out to them on an individual basis and see how much they know about, you know, what options there are to create money by the Treasury.
Eugene Stack.
Yeah, go ahead.
Our plan is the founder, Jackson, Mississippi, and Holyoke, Mass. And waiting about a week, then sending it to all the others. And then, you know, following up with other material, deeper material, and see if it strikes a bell. I mean, one proposal, which I think makes sense, is that this letter I'm sending to these three mayors be included in our next newsletter, and even under the statement, the BMRC does not necessarily support this. And, you know, if you want to cover yourself. And then do the article on the NEED Act right after it, so that the BMRC newsletter would be one of the next things to go out to them. And that they will pick up the NEED Act fairly quickly and in depth, but in a kind of phased fashion, 1, 2, 3, with things getting more detailed. Over.
Go, Stack.
Go ahead.
So, what I'm in favor of is Eugene, you know, taking action on his own. And I would be very skeptical and cautious when it comes to including Eugene's position in our newsletter, even with a qualifier that says it's not the opinion of the committee or something like that. I wouldn't be in favor of doing that. I want to make sure that Eugene knows that at the outset. I feel like if Eugene wants to do this on his own, fine, great. You know, let's see what he can do with it. But don't look for a way, you know, for either us to be on your coattails or you to be on our coattails on this particular point. Because on this particular point, which is greenbacks can pay for guaranteed incomes, it's not something that I believe. So I just want to be clear about that. Okay, I'm just stating what my position is. Eugene can say whatever he wants as an individual. Try to get them to believe whatever he wants to get them to believe about greenbacks and what they can do and what they are, and forget about the other two parts of the monetary reform platform. That's what Eugene can do. But to bring it back into the Green Party or into our committee, I'm opposed to that. We have our platform, and to me, we as a committee should not deviate from the platform position. Forward.
Is there a second to the motion?
Well, so the motion, we just still need to know. The motion is asking us to do what exactly?
I'll read the motion.
Okay, thanks, Sue.
Eugene will make outreach on the question of greenbacks can pay for guaranteed incomes to the mayors and to social movements that might be receptive. He will report back to BMRC on what he learns. He will sign under his own signature without mentioning Green Party.
So for that, what do we need to approve? Nothing.
Nothing.
Okay, well, I second that. We wish him all the luck in the world.
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
Rita Stack.
Go ahead, Rita.
If you all remember, we had the same thing come up when Howard wanted to write a letter to AOC. Do some of you remember that?
Yeah, it was the same kind of subject. I remember, yeah.
Right.
I don't remember it being about promoting a partial solution. Go ahead, Rita.
Howard just finally just did it on his own.
Right.
We couldn't get a clarifying answer from the steering committee as to whether or not we needed their permission to approach, you know, a public figure like AOC as a committee of the Green Party. So Howard ended up just signing it himself under his own name. Okay. Without the committee name.
I see. Well,
Steve Beck.
Steve, go ahead.
Yes, I understand our conundrum. I'm also curious that do other committees of GPUS have the authority to issue statements or communicate with other organizations without approval of the GPUS? That would be my first question. The second is, if you really want to make it official, even the steering committee does not have the authority to make this official. The only way you make it official is to make a proposal on the national committee.
Ah.
And they have
Rita Stack.
Go ahead, Rita.
That's not completely so, Steve, because for issuing press releases or whatever, they go through the media committee. And the media committee then requests that three of the steering committee members have to sign off.
That's different. You know, press release is different than communicating with another organization on behalf of the Green Party.
Well, I don't. It would depend on the organization, probably. I don't know, but. As far as contacting public officials, they really wouldn't give us a definitive answer. And, so...
Who's we, Rita?
Howard and I were co-chairs then.
The co-chairs of the...
We're co-chairs of this committee, okay? And we requested clarification from the steering committee.
Okay.
And they really wouldn't give us clarification, but they did in discussions suggest that, that they would need to approve if we were, sending letters to senators, congressmen, whatever, in our name as a committee of the Green Party.
Steve Stack?
Steve, hold on one second. I just want to get this clear for the minutes.
Sure.
So the steering committee said to you and Howard that you would have to do what? What exactly?
Steering committee didn't give us any definitive answer is what I said. However, in discussions, some of them, I believe, indicated that they thought we should have approval of some kind in order to send communications on behalf of our committee, as an official committee of the Green Party, to public officials.
Approval of the steering committee?
Well, I don't know, okay? Because there is no procedure for this.
Oh.
So many things have to be approved by the national committee. I think we had something, didn't we have something that we had to get approved by the national committee? Recently, endorsement of...
The resolution? Yeah.
Yes. The resolution for the Monetary Commission.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, but in that case, wasn't it going to be sort of like the official position of the party?
Yes.
Okay. Mm.
So this is just seeking BMRC's approval to contact a public official. That, right?
Based on what Reed is saying, we're to whatever effect Eugene would have with this group, which is mayor, so they are public officials. Whether we would be able to go back, pick up where we were, and mount our own campaign and contact these people is still an open question. From what I understand from what Rita said, just said, it's still an open question whether we have the authority to do that or not. Am I right about that, Rita?
Yes.
Eugene, Stack.
Yes, Eugene.
I withdraw my resolution.
Kevin Stack.
Go ahead, Kevin.
Let me ask Eugene why. I mean, I know people are talking about it and going through everything and making it seem like the committee could never possibly get through all the entanglements of actually making a recommendation to these mayors. But I am not agreeing with that. I mean, to me, the committee, I think it's part of the committee's purpose, and I think it's part of our mission statement. So I'm thinking that, based on what I hear about this committee, that Eugene's approach is probably the best, that, the committee's moribund, it doesn't have any ideas, and contacting him about that, then we can see what we do after that, if they give a response. I mean, we might not get a response because it might all be just a show that they put up there to try to make people think that they care, which would not be unusual, and they might not want any kind of effective response, in which case we should put an article about it and how the mayors could address their problem with greenbacks. We should put that in our newsletter.
Good.
But if we, I think we had a little problem with how we were going to write this letter, some disagreement over it. So I want to back off from that kind of disagreement stuff and just let Eugene run with it. And, let's see what happens. So that's where I'm at, and I don't want to get it, where there's so much formality or so many other extraneous considerations that it gets discouraging. So let's just, Let's just consider the matter. As far as I'm concerned, I seconded the motion and I didn't hear any objections, so I think it's carried. You know, yes. I'm not a parliamentarian, but I'm just going to take the position that the motion has passed. Over.
Go ahead, Sue.
A couple of things. Eugene said it wasn't a resolution, that it was a statement. So is I'm lost. I want to keep track of what this the committee is deciding. You know, that's important.
Just that.
Okay, go ahead, Joel.
Well, I thought I recall in the middle of the conversation, Rita telling us that based on our previous experience, we didn't have to do anything. That we didn't have to sanction or you know, approve any kind of procedures or anything. Eugene was going to be acting on his own. And so, well, we, you know, we didn't have to do anything. So I thought it was a somewhat of a moot point about taking the vote on the motion at that point. And so it was done, really, to be honest, that it was done. So I'm just going to leave it at that.
Okay. Eugene Stack.
Go ahead, Eugene.
Our country is burning down, folks. This seems to me like a talk shop. It will take no action. And I will act. I will go and try to do as best I can. But this is a weak talk shop. Over.
Okay. So it seems like we kind of have it settled. I'm grateful that Eugene has all this energy and wants to take action, and I certainly wish him the best. I am still a little puzzled about why he wants to promote a partial program. I did just put in the chat group the slide I was looking for since last week about why it is that our program promotes the three pillars. I can't find the slide, but in our committee's formal document, it does say, you know, when you do the one and you don't do the second, then it doesn't work. And if you do the second and the third and whatever, but not the first, that's all been seen historically. So that's one of the reasons why I am excited about the BMRC committee and mission and work. And I feel like promoting partial solutions will bring confusion. Now, I'd be happy to be wrong and have Eugene really get the attention of these mayors and have something develop from that. But I'm really glad that he's willing and able to do it under his own name, because I think that anything under the BMRC committee name, for purposes of not creating confusion, does need to support the whole plan. That's, yeah.
Sue Stack.
I just had to say that, but don't misunderstand that I'm very heartily wishing for Eugene to be successful in his effort. Go ahead, Sue.
I just want to say I totally support what you say, Mary, all of your sentiments, and we'll learn a lot from Eugene's activity.
So let's see, do we feel like we're ready to wrap this up and move on to something else on the agenda, or do there need to be some more?
Eugene Stack.
Go ahead, Eugene, and then Rita.
Joe's gone. Never mind. I just noticed Joe's gone.
Yeah. So that's Matt there. Hello, Matt. Eugene's on the stack right now.
Good evening. Good evening. Glad to be here. Sorry I'm late.
In the listserv discussion that Steve and Joe primarily undertook about what we owe the mayors in terms of explaining why this thing could be more complicated than we imply in the letter. And we are not lawyers. Even with great effort, on our part, our research may have followed sources and hidden unknown factors that we are not aware of. We describe historical facts as we know it. But mayors have had have to do their own due diligence. They have lawyers, and the lawyers will examine the whole question of greenbacks. And if anything, the lawyers will tell them to be cautious and not do anything for fear of repercussions. So that I feel confident in telling them the historical knowledge we have, and we should have no reservations about it. That is, due diligence is on them. Over. Lastly, Joe and Steve discussed back and forth about references to the Kennedy money, I mean the Kennedy attempt at silver dollars, etc. And Joe, I'm sorry he's not on right now, but I'll try to ask him in another venue. He said something about Wilson, and this goes back to Wilson. And I didn't know who he meant by Wilson, because he didn't give a year, and he didn't give, you know, is it Secretary of Treasury Wilson from 1950s under Eisenhower, or is it President Wilson in World War I? So I'll raise that with him privately, and who that Wilson was. It's helpful to not use abbreviations, because they are very difficult to understand when going through it. Thank you. Over.
Questions, anybody? Comments? Okay, so.
I think the letter is important, and I think the thing that these mayors are going to do with it is frankly not know what to do with it, because I would bet you that 99 out of 100 of them don't even understand the money issue. But at least we have to get our foot in the door, and if we're able to get 10 to 15% of them paying attention, then we've done a world of good.
Sue Stack.
Go ahead, Sue.
That's why I said before it's important to talk to them one-on-one, try to get them on a phone conversation, you know. Because they're not going to, maybe some of them do understand something about the money system, hopefully.
Well, if Eugene's is the opening volley for them to see the word greenbacks for the first time in their whole lives or 20 years or whatever, then maybe the committee could come in with some follow-up information about our program. There might be a committee letter promoting the NEED Act after Eugene's, you know, attempted to breach their walls.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. The research I've been doing, trying to track down, you know, the recent history of United States currency, it's so interesting. You go on to searching United States currency, right? And not Federal Reserve notes. And then you go on to some of the government and the Federal Reserve sites, and they start using United States currency to mean both. It's really, they just are so tricky. You know, they just want to just erase the difference. It's just a very tricky thing, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Well, what does everybody think about this? Are we ready to move along? Is everybody satisfied with this right now? Eugene, are you feeling okay about how this has turned out right now?
Yes, I have a clear path for myself, yes.
All right. Anybody else got more questions? All righty. Here we are in the new business, and we have about a half hour. Where are we in the new business? Hang on. Well, actually, that was the last item on this agenda. So we could take up an item someone suggests right now, or we could go back to something that we feel was incomplete.
Or we could adjourn.
Oh, just think.
We don't have to go for 2 hours or 2.5 hours every week.
We've gone over enough time so that we could break it off a little early without being guilty, right?
Absolutely.
Before you go, because I'm not on, I'm on the download of the minutes. I just want to confirm who's here during this meeting. We have Rita, Mary, Joe, myself, Will, Eugene, Kathy and Steve, Matt, Kevin, and is there anybody else? Did I get everybody?
You did say Joe's name. He was here for most of it.
Yeah. That's it.
Matt was here for a little dab.
That's okay. I have him there. But I've got everybody, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Eugene Stack?
Eugene.
The estimate for where GDP will be in 2021 is a minus 4.5%, and that's from the Fed of Dallas made that estimate. That is in the following year, minus 4.5%. Somebody has done a study of where the $1,200 went, and they polled people, and 15% said they would, they have spent it or are planning to spend it. 33%, they put the money into savings, and 52% paid bills. I mean, that's the way this non-targeted money is turning out. 52% paid bills, that is going to Wall Street. The Democratic National Committee voted against the Green New Deal. Excuse me. They voted against Medicare for All by the vote of 120 to 36. As we watch the Democratic Party and their shenanigans this week, that's their record, as well as Democrat votes prevented getting out of an amendment in the Senate to get out of Afghanistan in 1 year. And in the House, the Democratic vote prevented an amendment to cut the Pentagon budget by 10%. Over.
Sue Stack.
That's over.
I want to say something in response, in addition to what Eugene said, because there are some bright spots. And one of the bright spots that I came upon sent to me from one of the grassroots groups here in New York City is a website. If you search for ACU, that's not the ACU United States. It's some German, from some German. ACU 2020. And this is indicative of how we, the American people, are not given the news of what's going on around the world. There have been massive protests in Germany. In June of this year, 600 professionals came together in Germany and presented to the German public and to internationally that they're going to have an extra parliamentary investigation of why this economy is being shut down. And because they stepped forward, created this, there have been massive demonstrations supporting them against the government in Germany. And it's very uplifting. And they have taken most of their public videos that they've presented to the world, and they speak in German, but they made English translations of them. And I would suggest, if you want to be uplifted, to listen to these Germans.
Send us one.
I'll send you the link that has all the English translations so far that they've made.
Yeah, very good. Thank you.
Sure.
Hey, Eugene, when you say that did I understand you right? The Democratic National Committee voted down Medicare for All. Is that what you said? And you gave numbers on the vote?
Yes, it was not included in the platform. That was how they voted it down. I mean, somebody 3-1.
Okay, and then did you also say, or did I hear it somewhere else, that they also took something about carbon footprint off the platform?
Steve Stack?
Steve.
I don't know if this is what you're referring to, but just the other day, Tuesday, when Kamala Harris or somebody was making their big speech, the Democratic leadership took off the platform the proposal to stop funding, to stop subsidizing fossil fuels. That was while all this circus is going on, they did that behind the scenes.
That's what I was referring to. So that's also a platform move.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a formal vote like the Medicare one.
No, it was just removed by somebody.
Oh, brothers, wow. Okay. Rita, did you move to adjourn?
Well, I sort of did, yeah.
Well,
do we have things to talk about, or is there a second? Steve?
I'll second it.
Well, this could be a fill-in time if there's things that we need to catch up on. That's probably like a progress report over the last 6 months or a year. And what have we... one thing I noticed is that when we started this, there were some definitive things we were going to work on, and we did. And there's been some calls that we've had, and I'm thinking, is this turning out to another meeting where we're getting together and we're talking and we're not moving forward with it? In other words, we're talking the storm about what's going on and what the problem is, but okay, now what's the next step? That's like the letter to the mayors. That's the next step. But it's one thing, just, I was in a meeting this afternoon, and that's one of the things we talked about was another meeting that some of us had gone to for the last 25 years, and we said, okay, what's come of that meeting? What did we accomplish? And a couple of the guys across from me just kind of laughed, and it's like, yeah, you're right. So this group isn't that old. We don't want it to get in that position where all we do is get together once a week and talk about the various things that are wrong with the money system. We already know all that. It's like, we need to go ahead and get more people involved in this thing, expose this to more people, and then once it's exposed to them, explain it to them. Because I think I said this a while back, you take a look at somebody that the average worker, and they figure, why is it not doing me any good to save money? Because 3 years from now, my dollar isn't worth as much. What's going on here? It's being inflated out of existence, and it's the Federal Reserve bankers that are doing that. It's not the government. And I'm convinced that if more people knew about what was going on, there would be protests in the streets. There would be, and it'd be the substantive protests instead of the yelling and screaming and burning down buildings and things like that. I think what they would be doing is it'd be, instead of burning down a building or damaging a street or something like that, I think they would get the names and addresses of every Federal Reserve Board of Governor member, and it'd be at their door. That's where they need to be. It's like, that's where, but we've got to get more exposure out there to what it is we're doing. And there's groups like the Americans, I want to say the AMI, American Monetary Institute, or whatever that other group is called, and they've been working on it longer than we have. So that's where this has to go. And we have not worry about, I think we had this discussion too, never mind who we're working with as long as we're working for the same thing. So that's something that's important. I know there's people on this is an issue that the right wing can grab just as much as the left wing, because I remember people from the John Birch Society and a lot of the other right wing groups decades ago screaming about the Fed and how dishonest the thing was. So it's somehow we got to push this thing into the mainstream. It's got to be something that can be grasped onto. And if we find one thing that gets our foot in the door, where more people want to learn about it, then we've really, really done what we need to do.
Kevin Stack.
Thank you, Kevin.
Well, I agree with the sentiment, although I will say that I think we have made some progress. I think that.
Put your mic up. Put your mic up, please.
Can you hear me now?
Better.
Okay.
I've made some progress.
I think we've made progress because I think the newsletter represents something. I mean, it's getting out there. I don't know how many people read it, but that is something. And let me see here.
Oh, we're getting there, no doubt.
Am I sounding louder now?
No.
No, you're sounding.
I can hear you.
There, I'm turning up my microphone on my computer. Okay, maybe it sounds louder now, I hope.
A little bit.
Yes.
Okay. Well, anyway, I just wanted to say that we are making some progress, but I agree that we have to stay on it. And I think it's one of the frustrations that Eugene has experienced here of working with people. And, I have sympathy, but that's just what happens. It just takes a long time to get people on board and ideas across. It's just a tedious process. I would get frustrated why people don't understand, why people don't agree with me. If they only were paying attention, they certainly, or use their head, they certainly would agree with me. But for some reason, they want to figure it out themselves, So... it's just a process. We just have to stay on it. But I do also agree that we should be having projects. There needs to be stuff that we have succeeded on. And I don't want to tie the meeting up any longer to say that. But, over.
Sue Stack.
Sue.
Well, I totally agree that the newsletter is been the focus and very important. And I want to thank Eugene for starting it with his energy. And we just, like Matt said, we just need to keep focused on getting it out to more and more greens. I mean, first, we got to get the greens, right? Our party to understand what the difference between money and credit is, and some of the history.
True.
All righty, we have a motion and a second. Ready? Are we ready to decide on
it? Good night. Good night.
Yeah.
Good night, Eugene.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay, good night, Rita. Good night, everybody. Steve, Kevin.
Good night.
Okay, good night.
Good night, Matt. Good night, Will.
Good night.